to be true.
Now this is rock and roll, right? Simple, catchy, I mean, 3 minutes and a cloud of dust. But this morning, we're going to remember a time when rock and roll went a little sideways. It was the late 1960s.
The rusted chains of prison moons are shattered by the sun.
Some of the songs got longer, a lot more complex. Their rhythms were changing constantly. They were majestic.
The purple piper plays his tune.
Is that a flute I'm hearing? Really? A flute in rock and roll? Yeah, this was an experiment that challenged the very definition of rock. Some people, they loved it, but others thought it was the most bloated, pompous music they had ever heard. So just a warning to our listeners here, things are about to get weird. Behold the era of progressive rock. What you're listening to here is King Crimson from 1969 in the court of the Crimson King. It was one of the defining records of the progressive era. That era would only last about a decade or so because the changing musical landscape of the late 70s forced prog rockers into the sort of cheesy pop territory they had previously ridiculed. David Weigel has written a book called The Show That Never Ends, The Rise and Fall of Prog Rock. Now, David Weigel's day job is political reporter for The Washington Post. He used to write for Slate, and they had this fun tradition.
Slate had a feature for staffers called The Fresca, and named after the soda, not after the idea of freshness.
This was like taking a sip of a really lovely, enjoyable beverage, like it was taking a break to do something enjoyable.
Yeah, and you were encouraged once a year to take a month to write about something you didn't normally write about. And I pitched this. I said, I've always liked this progressive rock that is not critically respected or has been written out of rock history, not completely, but written as sort of a hilarious little hurdle for real musicians to get over.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
Yeah, David Weigel was not kidding about that critical reaction to prog rock. Early acclaim soon turned to bitter hatred. Just listen to some of the venom spit out by rock critic Lester Bangs back in 1975. He's talking about the band Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Here is like musical sterility at its pinnacle. A band that, you know, has absolutely no soul, there's no feeling in the music. The objective is to play preset solos as fast as you possibly can, breakneck speed, and do it for about 5 hours.
Ouch. I mean, the sense I got, not knowing much about this genre, is that it was like smarter music. It was more of an exploration and not so simple. I mean, can you say more about that?
It was, and it was openly so. Emerson, Lake & Palmer get branded in rock magazines the band that took rock and roll to college, and they embrace that. They're openly talking about the new influences they have brought in and how their music is, frankly, more intellectual than plunky riff rock, than what they were trying to replace. I think it's great. I think the music is actually super dynamic and inventive.
Soon the gypsy queen in a glaze of Vaseline will perform on guillotine. What a scene, what a scene. Next up on the stand, will you please extend a hand to Alexander's ragtime band, Dixieland, Dixieland.
There's an idea, I guess this was pretentious because that's all these guys knew how to do. No, if it was pretentious, it was because they were having fun with it. They were adapting classical music or writing 20-minute pieces because they were men in their 20s who thought this was fun and radical. They're very in on the joke.
Well, that's what I mean. It sounds like there's a self-awareness here. And not, you didn't go much into this in the book, but I was struck by the moment when it seemed like prog rock really lapsed into self-parody, and that was a band called Magma.
Magma is a band with a lot of percussion, a lot of hypnotic melodies, and then also a language that the singers have invented called Kobayan.
Because English just wouldn't be...
Or French.
Or French. Neither of them would work.
Neither language is going to work for this really rhythmically confusing but exciting, very percussion-heavy music that they're making.
The first few pages of your introduction, you wrote that this book on one hand is a narrative history, but it is also something else. And read that paragraph.
This is also an argument for progressive rock as a grand cultural detour that invented much of the music that's popular now. As the reader will discover, or already knows, Prague's reputation has never quite recovered from a series of crises in 1977-1978. Punk won over the critics, disco won over the teens, and the major progressive bands deflated like punctured blimps.
Punctured blimps. So some do say that punk rock's, you know, return to simplicity killed the prog rock movement. You really do believe that? That's a fair assessment?
It's complicated because it absolutely diverted the rock press, the A&R men, and radio from, well, to a lesser extent radio, but it diverted the kind of channels of how you heard about music. So there were two schools of thought I found among progressive musicians. There were people like Greg Lake from King Crimson, Emerson, Lincoln Palmer, who remained extremely bitter that the record industry turned to punk, which was never that popular, and ditched what was kind of working for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people like Robert Fripp, also from King Crimson, who thought it was fantastic. It needed to be blown up. You even see in Peter Gabriel, who leaves Genesis to start a solo career, really embracing the New York punk scene, coming back as a different musician who never sounds quite again like a progressive rock artist.
You make an argument that prog rock still has an influence that will never go away in music. Let's say someone doesn't know anything about this genre, listens to music today, where might they hear that influence?
Certainly in heavy metal. Heavy metal, several generations down from progressive rock, it is all over the place. And in terms of the harmonics, the songwriting, the loud, quiet, loud dynamics, I think were done by the progressives long before metal like it is right now.
David, real pleasure. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
In defense of prog rock, that was David Weigel. His new book is called The Show That Never Ends, The Rise and Fall of Prog Rock. And you can find a Spotify playlist of a few essential prog rock songs at our website, nprmusic.org.